Okay, turn back to 1 Corinthians 11. And one of the reasons I was kind of in a hurry is I'm hoping to finish with this study today. And in order to do that, I will restrict myself and concerning some comments and try to get through quicker, more quickly. Now let's see. Did I put you 13? Okay, it's in place. Still got one out of place. So I'll straighten that later. Last week, we looked at verse 13. Let me back up and read the whole passage before we begin. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every man that prayeth or prophesieth with her head, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power, authority, on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessed word. Heavenly Father, this is a unique passage in the Word of God, for it deals with a subject at length that is nowhere else dealt with, either in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. And our God, that in itself should instruct our minds that this is something for the Church of Christ. There were customs and practices concerning veiling or not veiling through the history of Israel, and sometimes it seems it was pretty much left up to the people themselves and what they wanted to do. And perhaps in that time, when there was not an established order, perhaps places that the people lived in had more influence than now. But here we have an order established for the churches, our God. And I wonder who that has sat under this study would be bold enough to say that the sound teaching of this subject and pointing out the things that we have handled thus far from it, who I say would be bold enough to say that it would not have made any difference in the churches of this time if it had been fairly dealt with. That would be practically the same as saying that these people are not Christians, and while many of them are not in the modern church, yet many of them are. And I cannot but believe that the Lord's people in general are going to receive the Word of God when something is clearly expressed in it. We pray, our God, that even those who may hear this teaching on sermon audio or through the tape ministry may recognize its value and its importance for the regulation of the relationship between husband and wife and the whole household and the church and society in general. Have mercy, our God, I pray. Now, Father, bless your church this day, wherever your people are meeting now and worshiping. We're so glad to know that people have been worshiping you for many hours this day. A continual stream, a river of hosannas is rising up to heaven. Hallelujahs. Glory to God. Praise unending throughout this day will be going up to our God in heaven. We are thankful to associate ourselves and our minds and spirits and our hearts with a vast host of God's people still in the world who praise and worship Him. May we be strengthened, our God, through Your Word. May our hearts be lifted up. And may we, whatever trials we may be undergoing and may be living with, whatever sicknesses and pains we have to endure, may we rejoice in our spirits and our hearts and minds in our God, Father, Son, and Spirit, rejoicing for the wonderful and free salvation and for the new heart, for the indwelling Spirit of God, the grand sovereignty of God in His providence as He directs our lives. Now, help us, our God, by Your Word. Help us to grow the likeness of Christ and to grow in the Christ-like virtues as we deal with each other and all men. May it be to the glory of Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. Now, verses 13 through 16, we are dealing with first in verse 13, the perception of men that they have, especially as it regards the fact of women coming to worship uncovered, unveiled. We dealt with that last service. Now this morning in this first service, I hope to be able to deal with verses 14 and 15, which tells us that nature agrees with revelation. And you can apply this to verse 13 also, because that perception that he is talking about, that spiritual perception, agrees with revelation also. That's what he's saying. That's what the question pretends, is that you will grasp that. Your common sense, your judgment, your perception will agree with the revelation that God has made and that we've already studied. And he continues in that vein, "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering." (Clears throat) Now concerning topical head on this sixth head, nature agrees with revelation on the matter of woman's covering. There are those who say that this covering only applies to local custom. In our time, it is easy to see how often and radically customs change. There are people who cannot wait for the spring season to get here to see what the new custom is in spring wear. Isn't that right? A vast percentage of the women of this country, and I'm afraid is more true than ever of the men, can't wait to see what the latest fashion is going to be. I've been amazed ever since the 50s, the first time I ever saw men in what they call Bermuda shorts. And how men are willing to take up with the fashions as they come on. And see, we're talking about a completely different situation concerning customs from what they have. They could have the same custom in these parts of the world for several hundred years and maybe slowly grow into some other kind of custom. But here, customs change overnight. Some comedian comes up with some little funny thing and it becomes a custom and a habit for everybody to say it. For weeks or months. But then somebody else will come up with the byword. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody was a turkey for a year or so around. And there's still some people that call everybody a turkey. Oh, that turkey! I always thought it was stupid. But then I've always been opposed to that kind of thing. I just don't like it. And I never have. It doesn't make me more holy. I'm just constitutionally against that kind of thing. And I always thought that men looked stupid running around in their shorts with their knobby knees and their either hairless or hairy legs showing. And sitting down and crossing their legs, and you can see the rear end all the way to the edges of their underwear and their privates. I thought they looked stupid. They looked like they left their brain turned off somewhere. Didn't know what they looked like. It's like I think these women with a 100-pound rear end look stupid when they've got that rear end shoved down in their tight britches and out wobbling around in front of everybody. They must not have any mirrors in the house. They'd have to know they look stupid like that. But they are enslaved to this custom, to this fashion. And they can't keep from observing it. Now why, you say, why do you go on that, down that path? Because I'm saying that it cannot be just a custom that these people custom cannot be what regulates the matter of the head covering. That's what I'm saying. Because customs change. I pointed out to you every time I've taught on this, during this time, there was every custom that had ever been in existence, I guess, extant in Corinth. Because there were all kinds of religions, there were all races of people, and they all carried their local customs from way back, or the ones that hadn't changed, some of them still clung to them. And among the Jews themselves, some expositors will tell about being reading so-and-so way back that said it was a custom for men to wear coverings in the church. Some will say it was a custom for women to wear coverings, and some will say the opposite. So you can't go by that. The only thing that makes sense is that God is establishing a custom for all time for the New Testament churches. And that's what it comes out to when we get to the end of this. Okay, with respect to verse 14, And what it says of men having long hair, I will go as quickly as I can. But first off, I want everybody to look at that and to acknowledge that it says something. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? I have been surprised, let me say. I don't know how it would affect you, but I have been surprised at how many preachers can't read that verse. It's obviously not in their Bibles. They can't read it. They say, well, it don't make any difference. What? How can a man say he believes the Word of God? How can a man who says he believes this is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, how can he say that? Then they justify that by jumping back to this, oh, that was just a local custom, and we're to follow the customs of the world. When did God ever tell His people to follow the customs of the world? How ridiculous can a person's thinking become? This does speak to the subject of men and long hair. I didn't make it up. But I always knew that I didn't like it. It was offensive to me always. And obviously our text indicates that it should be offensive to everyone for men to have long hair. Because it says, even nature, the natural order of things, your what we call common sense will tell you that. Your judgment as men and women will tell you that, should tell you that. If your conscience has not been seared, that's a shame. For a man to have long hair, that word shame is a strong word. It's not shamey. It's not that kind of shame. It's something that is, should we say, nauseous to God. That is infuriating to God. Just as women dressing like men is infuriating to God. Now this is not an invisible verse, though most of the world's preachers try to make us think it is. It's not a revelation of no consequence, as so many think. It is not an indecisive verse. It says very clearly what it says. It's a matter of shame that the preachers of this time either ignore or reject God's teaching in this passage. It's true that since the fad has changed to short hair for men, sometime in the 80s, long-haired men are not as prevalent as they were in the late 60s and through the 70s and 80s. But I remark that the reason so many of these men are short-haired is because that is the local custom at this time. It's not because they believe the Word of God. And when it goes back to, oh, I've got to keep my ears covered up, they'll all cover their ears up. But unless people believe God's Word, they will follow the next turn of the wheel of fashion. Look at all of the bald-headed women. Be an old woman and not be bald-headed nowadays is to get the other old women to look askance at you. And I know, without ever having asked one of them, I know the first excuse they would make is, well, I'm old, it's hard to take care of long hair. It's hard to take care of long hair when you're young. I have a wife and three daughters. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes labor. It takes thought. It's worth. But what is it worth to be what God tells you to be? And tell me, who is bold enough to say, I don't care what God says, I'll do what I won't do with my hair? That's the way the most women talk nowadays about their husbands. Many, if not most, of the women in this country, if you were to tell them that, what if your husband doesn't like your short hair? Their attitude would be, what's he got to do with it? It's my hair. I mean, that's what they're doing about murdering babies, isn't it? My husband don't have anything to say about that. That's my baby. It's one of the biggest, wretchedest, dirtiest lies they ever came across with. No woman ever impregnated herself. How can it be more her baby than it is the husband's baby? And yet they take that attitude because our leadership has taught them to take that attitude. By leadership, I mean their television and their schools, their education system. Because those wimps in Washington aren't leading anything except robbing people of their money. This is not an indecisive verse. The only legitimate or quasi-legitimate question that can be posed here is, how long is long? You can't believe how many times I heard that from the 60s through the 80s from preachers. How long is long? You talk about a bunch of mealy-mouthed, squirming, wormy cowards. How long is long? Well, there's not an unconverted hairdresser in this country that doesn't know the difference between long hair and short hair. Here are these brilliant men of letters and men of the Word of God. And they try to excuse their moral cowardice by saying, how long is long? If they can't figure that out, do they belong in a pulpit? Should they be teaching the people of God? If they can't figure out a difference between long hair and short hair, especially in light of what the Scripture says. Now, being honest, trying to, as honest as I can, pictures of several expositors, and I had this mentioned to me lots of times by these preachers in discussions of this subject. Pictures of several expositors of Scripture who have give very conservative and correct exposition on this passage reveals that they didn't consider long what I would consider long and probably every man in this place considers long. See, I'm not aiming this at any of you men or any of you boys because none of you have long hair. Only one I've really aimed it at is the preachers who should have been teaching the Lord's people all these years. John Bunyan, John Gill, Matthew Henry. Say, well, are you willing to say they're wrong? I'm willing to say anybody's wrong. They disagree with the Word of God. What difference does it make who they are? Their hair is much longer than I would want mine to be. At the same time, I could say perhaps they had some justification if their wives' hair had been untouched by scissors and was hanging down to their waist or longer. Or it could be that they taught the truth and didn't practice it. I don't know. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say that it was the first thing that I said. But to my thinking and for my conscience, their hair was still too long. It's kind of the same thing like these men wearing those stupid wigs. There's absolutely no justifiable reason for them wearing those stupid wigs. It was nothing but vanity. Somebody came up with it, and they did it out of vanity. Like men and women coloring their hair, there's no excuse that you can make that is justifiable. It's nothing but vanity for people to color their hair. And I'm not going to damn anybody for doing it. I'm just telling you, you can't come up with a real reason that you should do it. Because it doesn't make your hair better and it doesn't make you look better. You look like a person with dyed hair. And you're burning your hair up. And everybody knows that. It says anything about it. It's nothing but vanity. And it's like so much of our vanity, it's a foolishness. Now, a few comments are in order. Irreligious men delight in trying to make scriptures appear absurd. You'll notice I don't say absurd, absurd. I'm not ever going to say absurd, I don't believe. I don't like it when they turn S's into Z's. We've got a Z in the alphabet. If they want to make it absurd, then put a Z in it. I'm not going to say it that way. Just out of my own peculiar stubbornness, I guess, it sounds like somebody has a lisp when they say absurd to me instead of absurd. So if you think you're not saying that word right, I say I have a difference of opinion with how people pronounce this word, and two or three others also. Irreligious men delight in trying to make Scripture appear absurd. Sadly, many preachers employ their arguments to justify themselves in not teaching on this subject. And the ones that do that like to make Scripture appear to give foolish rules, useless rules, bad or confusing counsel. It's very grievous that supposed learned Christian pastors are so ready to join with Scripture haters in ridiculing God's Word. I've heard them do it. I've heard grace men, sound men, in many ways, make fun of people and call them legalists for saying men shouldn't have long hair. Well, what does that verse say? Who's the donkey? Scripture never gives an uncertain sound about anything. Now, we're uncertain about many things that Scripture says. That's because we don't have enough light to understand what it says. Now, I can be very gracious or merciful to somebody that says, well, I've studied this and studied it and studied it, and I don't understand. Well, that's why I've spent so many messages trying to make it understandable, point by point by point. And the major points are clear. The covering that's talked about in verses 4 through 7 is something that you put off and on. You don't put your hair off and on. Now, if you can break that, you can break what I believe. But you can't break that, because that's what the passage says. It's something that you can put off and on. And the word for it is veil. And all of the best Greek expositors and many of those who turn around and say it doesn't continue to be in vogue nowadays admit that that's what it says. And I read the names of many of them to you at one point. Scripture doesn't give bad counsel. It doesn't give unclear counsel. Where things are unclear to us, we need to continue to pray for more light and continue to read and study God's Word. God is not confused. His Word is not confused. It's capable of being understood. Let every person who enjoys an imagined superior outlook upon this matter know that God speaks pure truth here. Whether we're able to get the right understanding of it or not, this is a matter that is jaundiced by various things. But the passage is clear. And I would say, for any hearer's sake, or if you're dealing with anyone else, let the person who smiles in himself at the supposed confusion of Scripture know that God is not mocked. And He says it just that way several times in the New Testament. Remember, God is not mocked. You can turn up your nose and curl your lip, sneer and mock and smile at what the Scripture says. God is not mocked. There's a settle-up day. There's a day of judgment. And everything is going to be squared up. And proper vengeance from God is going to be executed on those
who handled His Word lightly on purpose. He will avenge every insult. This subject is not too hard to understand. It's clear enough for any honest person to understand. And especially is this verse and that first part of verse 15 clear. As with a woman's veil or head covering, custom does not dictate Scripture. Scripture dictates custom. It makes no difference what men's practices have been or what they are now. God's Word determines what is right. Now, some try to say the word long refers to ornamental hairstyles on men. Well, it's true that men are almost as vain, if not just as vain, as women nowadays in their descendants into effeminacy. The women are becoming more mannish. The women are becoming more feminine. And this mass of perversion that we see everywhere is the result of that. Now, if you don't want your sons and daughters to become perverts, you had better be trying to train them to think like males ought to think if they're males, and like females ought to think if they're females. Don't leave it up to the world to teach them. Are you parents listening? You can't just say, well, I'll let them make up their own minds. Well, that's what's going on. And look at the millions that they say are running after queerism. Ignorant parents letting them make up their own mind. Oh, I don't want to put my thoughts in their mind. Or who should put thoughts in their mind? Everybody out there is trying to put their thoughts in their mind, and you're not even going to help them? You're not going to raise a hand or say a word to help them? It's incredible to me. The homeschool movement has been incredible to me. It's been a sad eye-opener. So many have homeschooled their children to keep them out of the morass of iniquity in a public school, but they didn't teach them anything while they had them morally. Let them make up their own minds. They might as well have sent them to public schools. If you know what's right, you're supposed to be teaching. You're supposed to be raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The context here is not about whether a guy parts his hair in the middle or tries to curl the ends of it up behind his neck. The context is about the length of hair. It's not about hairstyles. Now, caution to young men. Every one of you have your eyes open. Know there's a spirit abroad in the world of rebellion. And it's in every one of us. Every one of us. That spirit that broke out in force and in power in the 60s around long-haired boys and then long-haired men is not a Christian spirit. Some of us lived through the time when conservative preachers were all preaching against long-haired men, but they didn't do it very long. Some of you have heard me say this before. I've watched the preachers, the Southern Baptist preachers in the Muskogee Association, follow the fad. When they found out Mama was going to side with their boys about them letting their hair grow long, then the only thing they could do to put themselves the best light they could was to let their hair grow long. Now, most of them didn't grow a ponytail down their back, but they grew it down just above their shoulder blades. I'm talking about most of the preachers. Some of the old timers didn't. But most of them did. It was not custom that caused these men to do that, because they had been preaching against it from the time the Beatles hit the scene with their hair that wasn't even really that long except in the front. It's just stupid looking. What happened to those preachers is what's happened to manhood in this country. They could not stand against their wives and their children. And that's what's happened. They didn't have enough manhood to stand against their wives and their children. That spirit that lusts after and covets long hair, or lusts after and covets the local fad or the latest fad to be in current fashion, is unholy. That's an unholy spirit. Christians are not supposed to follow the world. They're supposed to be separating from anything that is out of order in the world, or anything that is unclean in the world. It's an exceedingly wicked spirit. It's an anti-God spirit. It is the idolatry of effeminate vanity. See how wicked it is? One only need notice how willing most young men have been and are to completely overthrow parental authority to have their heart's desire. Now, I'll tell you, the loss of manhood has not reached the bottom of the barrel. Every time something like this happens, we tend to think that it has. A very common evidence of how effeminate men have become is that more and more and more they're inviting their daughters' whore masters right into their own house to live with them. Now that's right. Over and over and over. And men who claim to be Christians are inviting their daughters' whore masters to move in the house with them. Don't act like you don't know that's happening. If you're an adult, you know it's happening. It started in the 70s after a movie that Hollywood put out where they advertised that very thing. It started with the schools saying, oh, well, we all know that young men and young women are going to be sexually active. So we don't want them out in a car somewhere out on the back road. Yeah, that's what they said. That's what they've said publicly. And you adults all know that. And so, fathers have stood still for public schools to pass out birth control products to their children. Men who think they are men. Men who think they are Christians. And now they're standing still for the whore master to move right in the house with their whore daughters. It's absolutely incredible. If a man has any manhood, he wants to preserve his women, folks, from ungodly men. If he has any manhood. And he would rather kill a man than have him come into his house and seduce his daughter. And scripturally, a case can certainly be made that it would be justifiable. Even though our modern government, which is anti-God and about as pagan and heathenish as it can get, would not tolerate that. But for a man to just say, come right on in, come right on in. There's the bedroom, there's my daughter. Is absolutely beyond even what I thought would ever come to pass. I did not reckon on how sorry men can become. They've lost their manhood and lost the light by which men steer the truth of the Word of God. You young men and young women may not know, but there were thousands of instances everywhere of young men fighting with their fathers over their long hair. And the fathers eventually giving up because mama's on the side.
at the long-haired boy. Not just thousands, but millions. And it was the same in the churches almost as it was in the world. And for the same reasons. Such a spirit is much akin to Satan's rebellious spirit. Mothers who support their boys in their rebellion deserve the judgment of God that it brings. And believe me, they've received it. Children from the 60s are the kind of monsters that are inhabiting the White House now. I remind you, a lack of reverence for parents tells of a graceless heart. A lack of reverence for parents tells of a graceless heart. And to any mothers who are put their children ahead of their husbands, that very likely tells of the same thing. If you're going to grab up your children and go off and leave your husband because he says the child can't follow the latest fad, that certainly does not bespeak of Christianity. It speaks of a satanic spirit. Far from this verse setting up an occasion for people to mock at God's Word as confusing and impossible to obey, it rather supports and reinforces what God has already said on the subject of woman's head covering. Notice, long hair is shameful for men. The statement is crystal clear. And he is saying that our natural understanding tells us the same thing if it's not perverted by rebellion against God. Nature agrees with revelation. The nature of believers in particular, because they've been taught some of God's Word.